Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
iZotope Native Instruments and Plugin Alliance are launching a whole bunch of super hot deals for the Summer of Sound sale. From now until the 6th of July 2023, iZotope are offering all their software for 50% or more off, including the comprehensive mixing and mastering bundle Music Production Suite 5, as well as flagship tools like Ozone, RX, Neutron, and more. All things I use to edit this podcast. Visit iZotope.com and check out the frankly colossal range of things that you can get at extraordinary prices, and take your mixing and editing to a whole new level.
Matt, you know, I've never really spoken much about some of my sports fears, really, but I've always been afraid of hurdles.
Right.
But I got over it. Not a great dad joke. I do apologize. That was I'm scraping the barrel. Why did the drum go to bed?
Why?
It was beat.
Oh, love it. I was in Waterstones and I saw a book of dad jokes. I should have bought it for you.
Yes, you should. You should. Have you ever eaten an off sausage? It's the worst.
Oh, ba-dum-tsh. Joe, introduce the podcast. Come on, let's get on with it.
Hello, dear listener. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe.
Hello, Mr. Matt. Hello, dear listener. Welcome back. Welcome to another episode. We've got a whole bunch of guitar stuff to talk about this week. Maybe we'll even do some news. We haven't done news in a little while, and there have been some exciting things. Like, we never talked about the Boss ME90 when it came out, the Walrus Slower. There was that new weird Electro-Harmonix flanger that came out. 1981 actually put out another pedal.
I know. Amazing.
All of those things that we never... I feel like the ship sailed on all of those now. It's old news now.
It is amazing that so much stuff still has launched in what, yes, last year was just a bonkers year. This year, you know, we feel like we've come out the other side of, you know, a global pandemic, just a bizarre sort of couple of years, yet nothing feels like it slowed down. If anything, I feel like it's got even more intense.
I guess so. Yeah, new releases definitely have, and so has gear acquisition. Certainly for me, I certainly feel like I'm a bit more flippantly purchasing at the moment. So, maybe I'm buying into the hype a bit more.
Yeah, I definitely. I feel like I've bought less.
Right.
I guess, but I have obviously got some significant new things, but I feel like I've potentially got less this year because almost a bit of like choice overload. You know, there's just so much out there. You're like, oh, do I buy this? And then next week, there's something new. You're constantly always waiting. It's like those people that go, oh, I just bought the new iPhone. And there's another iPhone out. And it's like, yeah, you know, they launch them every year. And it's sort of like, yeah, I know. Electro Harmonix launches a pedal every day. So I guess... Actually, I think the biggest thing for me, Joe, I don't know if it's the same for you, but have been able to try out less before I buy.
Do you know what definitely.
I mean? Like, not as close to a store.
Well, you moved out of London, you know, so that's...
But then again, the amount of, like, gear that's online that you see, and then actually it takes a long time to go and try it. Like, you know, some of the old Blood Noise, or even like Chase Bliss, you can't go and try it in a store. They sell direct and they're made to order.
Well, that's it. You and I, and as well as most of our listeners, most of the community, if you're really into guitar stuff, you probably like a bunch of boutique stuff, especially when it comes to pedals. And an awful lot of pedals that are boutique brands sell direct, mostly. You know, there's they're not going to be available in shops. I mean, it would be impossible for shops to stock the broad range of brands that are available out there when it comes to things like that.
So, I don't know. There was a company at one point. I don't know if it still exists. So I'm going to Google it right now. I think they were called Pedal Genie.
Right. Oh, was it like renting pedals or
something?
Yeah,
like I think it's a US company.
People have tried that because there was that company that they were like the first ever sponsor of Guitar Nerds, weren't they? There was when Mark was in charge of it. And I can't remember what they were called, but there was a... We did something with them, didn't we?
Yeah. No, Pedal Genie. They're based in the US. They're a subscription service for guitar pedals. So you've got three different levels, $22, $47 or $77 a month.
Right.
Basically, play three pedals at a time, exchange whenever, or play one pedal at a time, exchange whenever, play one pedal at a time, keep it as long as you want. I don't know if that's what I want. I don't know if I want to pay for the privilege of that.
No.
Or...
Like, no, I don't want to give those things back. I like subscription services to things. I pay for a subscription service to a whiskey company that send me two bottles of whiskey every quarter.
Right.
But I get to drink the whiskey. You know, I don't have to give it back.
Do you know, I just... That's the bizarre thing about subscription services, isn't it? Like, what you can subscribe to... And what's available to you direct in the post. And I just feel that guitar pedals or anything guitar related just doesn't work.
Well, unless you gave people them, unless you said monthly subscription, £100, and you get a pedal every. But what's the advantage over just going out and buying the pedal?
This
it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a guitar pedal only superstore somewhere easily accessible to my house that I own that has all of the pedals I want. I think that's why I was so impressed when there's a store in Paris called La Pedale. And they're part of the...
sounds like you're making up the name of a French guitar shop.
Oh, they're called La Guitar. And they basically, it's quite a small store, but they only sell guitar pedals.
Right.
And I went to another one, I think in Sweden, called These Go to 11.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know that.
Is another
one. We've got Joe's Pedals over here.
We have got Joe's Pedals, although Joe's Pedals don't have a physical store.
No, they don't have bricks and mortar. Do the United States of America have anything? Do they have one? Do you, dear listener?
If you're American. I think America's too big. That's like saying, is there a guitar shop in Europe?
Yeah.
I've seen the pictures of Sweetwater. Sweetwater's like huge guitar, like effects area is pretty crazy. But I think that's why I like going to, and I want to get back into guitar shows. And I was looking through my diary, Joe, and I was like, wow, I'm going somewhere for work every week for the next month, then I'm on holiday for a couple of weeks, then I come back, then we're basically going out to Germany. It's almost Guitar Summit, and I'm just going to save all my pennies for Guitar Summit.
Lovely. I've been very flipped. I've made a couple of purchases even this week, which we'll talk about shortly. But, I definitely need to stop and save stuff because I really want someone at Guitar Summit to talk me into something amazing. I want to put down a deposit or something, or at least buy a pedal there.
Yeah.
Annoyingly, I might be going out to Berlin the week or 2 weeks before as well to go see AMA.
Right.
So I'm going to be in and out of Germany for most of September.
Well, at least you get a nice little bit of travel, and Germany is a wonderful place.
Isn't it just? Yeah,
it is.
Exactly. New stuff. This, I've mentioned it on the group, but Matt, look, and dear listeners, listen. I got my Berkeley D40 acoustic, a 1975 built Japanese, basically Guild D40 copy, and it's great. A 50-year-old, awesome looking guitar. You know, still solid mahogany back and tied, solid spruce top. It's
amazing,
gorgeous.
Really, isn't it? It is. You know how they were. Or how anyone's, I guess, people still get away with crazy things today.
Yeah.
But especially the stuff coming out of Japan, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't terrible. Like, it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
You know, they were great guitars. And effectively, you know, if you're willing to look past the brand name,
yeah,
you can get a lot of guitar for the money. I mean, what did you pay for that? I think we talked about it, $299,
including a hard case. Yeah,
you know. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive, really.
Really, not bad for something that will be, you know, it's a gorgeous sounding, well set up 50-year-old acoustic that I can play forever. Now,
has it been well played? Like, have people like? Can you tell it's had a bit of a life, or is it just something that's appeared? Because my other fear with products like that or guitars like that is that they haven't been played. So they've just been stored.
Mm. Yeah.
And then, but also, how did Japanese guitars at that point get over here? Were people importing them at that point? Because they couldn't get Fenders, or was it people bringing them back over?
Yes, they were export models. Japan made a lot for their own market, but there were export models as well. And in fact, a lot of shops in the early days of this were, because there weren't, you know, wholesale distributors necessarily holding on to a bunch of stock and then filtering out to stores like there is today. There were things like, I think I spoke about it when I purchased a Fairy Tale jazz bass recently. The brand is Fairy Tale, and they were Greco built, but they were, Fairy Tale was a name given to, that was the name on the headstock provided by a Genevan guitar shop that were buying them in specifically to be sold in their shop. So there are hardly any of them out there just for that one shop. And they wanted a name that looked more like Fender on the headstock, basically.
Right.
So they had Fairy Tale in very much a Fender script.
So funny.
Yeah, but I love all this. It's just amazing. You know, obviously, we have great quality guitars today. Indonesia really stepping up. China's making incredible stuff. The Squire Classic Vibrange. And we're always raving about companies like Jet making amazing, affordable guitars. But, you know, make no mistake, we're going, wow, these guitars are so good in comparison to what Chinese and Indonesian guitars were like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
When we look at Japanese guitars from the 70s and 80s, it's like these are as good as the US-built guitars that are selling for, you know, 10 times the price in some cases, just because of the name on the headstock and the origins behind them. The Japanese stuff was reverse engineered to perfection. In many cases.
Yeah, and I think in some ways probably perfected, you know, because I just know, especially working for a Japanese company, like the level of detail they go into. So I can imagine that, you know, what they were going into at that point. So I'd imagine, you know, it'll be a great guitar. And it's had 50 years worth of playing in, you know. Yeah,
exactly. It just sounds fantastic. I need to fit a pickup now, which always requires drilling out the tail pin, which is frightening.
Best left to Mr. Graham Wheeler.
Yes, I'm going to send it to Graham Wheeler to do it. I was like, well, I have the pickup. I have a couple of good acoustic pickups. I've got a nice Fender one that's a sound hole pickup. I've got another one that's like a Fishman one that's got like two things. So one's like a goes under the bridge, one goes under the sound hole. I don't know. But you obviously have to drill out the tail pin and replace it with a jack input there. And I was like, well, it's just one bit of drilling. But it's a one bit of drilling that has to be done very accurately and carefully. So I think
And also it's just how easy it would be to just for it to crack or catch. Do you know what I mean? It's like there's some things best left untouched, and I feel that is definitely one of them.
Exactly. Now, Matt, you've been getting a little bit involved in purchasing raffle tickets.
Oh, who doesn't love a raffle?
This feels like a slippery slope.
Well,
we're going to talk about now.
Yes, and
this
no.
is gambling. I've already lost so much money on the Women's World Cup.
Yeah. basically, for a long time, if you're in the UK, that is, there has been, or there was at one point, lots of adverts for something called Guitar Gear Giveaway, which, to be honest, I sort of just scrolled past and dismissed because they were like, well, we're giving away a Les Paul for $199 or... And you see those and you just think, in today's scam. World, everything, like especially if you're my dad, everything is a scam.
Yeah.
but interestingly, I decided to give Guitar Gear Giveaway another look in recently because my... Dad does something similar. There's a company based near where I live in the UK called Bridge Classic Cars. And they basically sell classic cars, but they also have a bunch they give away. They give away like one a month. And you effectively... Bridge Classic Cars. Yeah, I think it's Classic Car Auctions.
Yeah.
And effectively, you...
Oh yeah.
They have a car for sale. Say, for example, it's, I think they've got like an Aston Martin DB7 on there.
They've got a 1934 Morris 8
yeah.
on there at the moment. Convertible, which is called the Tourer when it doesn't have a roof. Very cool. £9 a ticket.
Yeah, so basically you've got an Aston Martin and there's 3,000 tickets and the tickets cost $9.99 and then they basically put it into a random number generator online and if your number comes up, you win. And actually, Christmas before last, my dad actually did win and he won a 1974 VW Beetle.
Oh dear. Wow, poor guy.
so he won that and it was like, you know, a concourse winner. It's like all been refurbished. You know, it's like a proper legitimate business.
Right.
And I don't know why I thought of it again, but they were talking about this Guitar Gear giveaway with someone we used to work with and they've been helping them out, selling them gear. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to have a look. And they had a bunch of cool guitars on there. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a go. So if you're in the UK, Guitar Gear giveaway. So they've literally just announced a competition today. Gibson Custom Shop Les Paul Custom in Alpine White, £3.68 a ticket, 1,999 tickets. And you can buy up to 80 tickets if you really wanted to. And effectively, a couple times a week, they do a live draw on YouTube. And if your raffle number comes up, you win a guitar. So you could potentially win a guitar for £3.68. Part of the... reason that I decided to do it was there was a couple of things on there that I thought looked very cool. One was a Marshall fridge. I thought, you know, every person who's got an office needs a Marshall fridge. But also the 2023 Tom DeLonge Signature Strat Surf Green.
Yes.
I mean, a license to print money, to print single humbucker money, the Tom DeLonge. Everyone wants one. Limited edition. No doubt it's going to be crazy money in the future.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, you know what, for $1.99 and a one out of 1500 chance, I am going to try and win Tom DeLonge. No. I did not win.
You did not win. Tom. What finish was the Tom DeLonge?
Surf Green. Do they call it Surf Green or has he got a funny
name. Yeah, there's a surf green. There's surf green, I think, Daphne or Sonic Blue, and there's black and graffiti yellow, which is the one to get.
Is it? Is that the colour that everyone wants, is it?
Well, I think so, just because it's never been released in graffiti yellow before. Basically, when you know, the original time round, around when Tom DeLonge was playing the Stratocaster, the Tom DeLonge Strat, the first time round, there was like a photo shoot of him with a graffiti yellow one. There's never been one available. And then occasionally it would come out at a show, this one graffiti yellow version of the Strat, but it was never a production model. It was never something you could get. So I've certainly seen people refinishing them in the past to graffiti yellow, but they were only ever available in the Daphne or Sonic Blue, I can never remember which one, and Surf Green. And then later when Blink did their emo phase, it was available in black with a black plate, but never in graffiti yellow. So it coming out this time in graffiti yellow is incredibly cool. I saw Jason Wharton had got himself a graffiti yellow one. It looked absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're sort of like all sold out. I don't know. It looks like there are some places that have stock available. Rich Tone Music seem to have one in graffiti yellow.
I know that Merchant City Music certainly got a load in, but I assume they sold pretty quickly.
I think the black one looks pretty rubbish, if I'm being perfectly honest. I thought the other colours looked pretty cool. But this is a big thing. This is a big thing, especially for you, right, Joe? This the Tom DeLonge coming back in, because that guitar, the previous version, had like peaked out at some crazy money, right? On reverb, just I think as he'd come back into the band, and I guess interest had peaked back in them, and the people who liked them then, who still like them now, have disposable income, and they were like, now is the time to
it's smart, isn't it? Yeah, all the people who were 16 when Enema of the State came out are now 40, and
So I didn't win. But, Joe, you could maybe say why this is the one that you should buy.
Well, it is a fantastic guitar. So we're talking about so if you don't know about the Tom DeLonge Stratocaster, dear listener, it is it's a single humbucking Stratocaster with a perloid plate, the finishes mentioned, and a single Seymour Duncan Invader, the highest output humbucker I think that Seymour Duncan made. Certainly the most ridiculous looking, with their huge bolt pole pieces in there. So very, very distorted, very driven humbucker, just a volume control, no other switching, no tone, no funny pickup push-pull things or anything like that, just a master volume. 70s headstock, very slim profile neck, rosewood board, proper rosewood. They've gone for some big, proper saddles this time.
I noticed that. So it's proper, so this time round, it's the... I mean, we haven't seen these saddles for a long time, but these are effectively the saddles that were on like old American standards, right? These are like the solid block saddles. I don't actually know if there's another guitar they put them on now.
I don't know. And it's a hardtail as well, worth noting, dear listener. So it's
So, a
proper punk rock machine.
I think it's just the picture, but the picture on the website looks like it's got bronze strings on it. It definitely can't have bronze strings on it.
That would just be
madness. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the humbucker in the bridge, just the humbucker in the bridge with the plain plate, but it kind of looks like a mini guitar. I don't know if you know what I mean. It's like when you look at it, like face on profile, I'm just like, why does it look like it's so the neck is so short? I think that's just the perspective of it. But actually, you know, what's this, $12.99 made in Mexico? Which is kind of about standard.
I was seeing a few people sort of balk at those sort of prices, but that does seem to be where Fender are pitching their Mexican-made stuff at the moment. You've got to remember now, an American-made Fender is £1,800-1,900 now, so... I guess, you know, that's...
$12.99. I can't remember an artist. I mean, there's been a couple recently, but I can't remember when we worked in GAC, there would have ever been a Mexican-built artist guitar that would have been that much money. Maybe no. 999, the Joe Strummer might have been 1099.
Yeah, when we were there, but you're going back, like, you know, you're thinking 2015, 2016, around that sort of time. You know, even then, that's late for the Blink models, obviously. But yeah, it's... You were looking at 799, 899 for most Mexican Fenders, no matter what they were. So it's a lot of money, isn't it? But the you know, I made this point to someone about another guitar on there. If the components and the hardware and everything are good, if they're using good stuff, does it matter where it's put together? Absolutely. By the same staff. Let's remember, dear listener, that half-hour drive you have between the US factory and the Mexican factory, and the fact that the same staff work at both places. It's all that we're talking about is parts. There's build quality is not a thing. I'm aware that national pride is probably a thing for the Americans on you know, an American-made guitar, but certainly no one else cares about that.
Well, you know, I think I've got an Ed O'Brien, which was made in Mexico, but it's obviously got American pickups. You know, as a guitar, he plays that same one and it's amazing. And yeah. Tom Long's playing that one. It's not like, as far as I'm aware, he's playing a custom shop one and then going out and there's a bunch of Mex. I'm sure they made him some custom shop ones.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, looking here, Fender American Ultra Lux Strat 2149. And that's the kind of, and then you've got the American Ultra, like, yeah, HSS, they're 1999.
Wow.
And then you go into American Vintage 2, 1899. American Professional, which I think is the kind of plus model now. Do they have a standard? American Professional 2 is 1699.
Yeah.
And then I think that's kind of it, really.
Yes, that's where we are with Fender. Well, yeah, I mean, yes, it is definitely very expensive now to get a Mexican-made guitar. I'm not arguing that. I just think that is sort of where Fender have... Maybe people need to get over the, you know, name on the headstock-ness of it all and go for maybe something like a Vintage, as in the brand Vintage, who, you know, make fantastic, high-quality Fender-like guitars for, you know, 400 quid.
It's the same as what we were saying about your acoustic, I think. Yeah. If you can look past the name on the headstock, I'm not saying that all guitars, you know, there are definitely some bad guitars out there, but sometimes, yeah, if you can look past the name on the headstock, actually, you get an amazing guitar for the money, you know, you really, really do. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I've got I've got Mexican Fenders, Japanese Fenders, and Mexican, just Japanese? Oh, and an American one. And, I mean, they all play, with a good setup, they all play basically exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah, sure, yeah, exactly. That's it. There is a lot less in it these days. I want to talk, by the way, on the subject of Mexican Fender, I want to talk about this little, our old shop, Matt Knight, a GAC exclusive Fender Vintera 50s Tribute Stratocaster in road worn black. So maple neck, black, you know, gorgeous nitro worn black with the wear in just the right places, single ply black guard, white pickups. Road worn Fender, you know the road worn series are amazing. 1200 quid, 1199. How do you feel about that price point?
I'm just trying to find it.
Let me send you a little.
Also, have Tom DeLonge in black in stock. If I was going to buy one, I think it would have to be Daphne Blue. I think that's
fair
the
enough.
Best one.
Fair enough. I've popped you a little link to the Fender exclusive Vintera.
I was also just having a look at some of the signatures because they've also got Corey Wong, but the Corey Wong is very expensive. I was just trying to have a look if it was made in America or not. The Corey Wong is 2449.
I don't like it.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's not a nice color.
But that's the Daphne Blue one.
Oh, it's
his new limited one with the rosewood.
Oh, yes, board, of course. Yeah.
Which I realise has got a strange neck heel on it. I think that one must be American built for that money. That'd be crazy money if it was Mexican.
I'm sure it's American built at that price point. I'm sure it's basically an Ultra or something like that.
Yeah.
Because he wants that hi-fi sound, doesn't he?
Now, this one here, so Fender exclusive Vintera 50s tribute road worn black is very cool. Basically, you will never be able to afford, let's put it straight, me, you, most people on this podcast will now never be able to afford a David Gilmour signature custom shop because they no longer make them. And secondhand, they're already going for somewhere between £10,000 and £15,000.
Yeah.
And to be honest, having played a couple, I mean, I am a big Pink Floyd fan. I listened to 3 Pink Floyd records today. and I remember playing the Custom Shop one, and I would never pay that money for the Custom Shop one because it was a very, very vintage feeling guitar, you know, certainly in the neck profile. I was hoping this one might be slightly different, but no, they've also kept the 7.25,
which is what I want. Is that not what you want?
Great if you play chords. Not so good if you play the old leads. Well, I mean, John Mayer would say otherwise, and that's fine. That's John Mayer. But my 88 Paisley Made in Japan Strat 7.25, and I always find I struggle a little bit more on that on lead stuff compared to the other guitars I've got. I mean, I would always have, whenever I spec'd Custom Shop, I would always like vintage look and feel, but I liked the 9.5 to 12
loser,
the 7.25 to 9.5 is always pretty good. So you got 7.25 down at the.
That, I could get
nut,
behind that.
9.5 at the top. But this is a very, very cool guitar. Get your EMGs in that, Joe.
Well, it's got Custom Shop Fat 50s in there anyway.
Actually pretty impressive, isn't it? You know, Custom Shop Fat 50s.
Nitro finish.
With a nitro finish. It's a shame that, I mean, it basically makes me think of the old Road Worns, which were such killer.
But they go for £1,000. This is only £200 more for a brand new guitar.
I know. I think, certainly, if you're after that look and feel, that is a very, very cool guitar to go for, I think.
Yes, yeah.
Depends if you really need another guitar, Joe.
I absolutely don't. Well, sort of on that Pink Floyd conversation, I did pick up finally a Roger Waters, a Fender Roger Waters precision bass. I know, dear listener, I shared that I was like looking for one a few weeks ago on the group, and I got a little bit of stick because, of course, Roger Waters is coming under a little bit of stick at the moment for being such an outspoken fella who has some questionable opinions.
I love Pink Floyd, but he is a little bit old man shouts at cloud.
He's very much that. But you know, that certainly that doesn't make this guitar any less fantastic. So I've always wanted one because it's great. I should have bought one when they came out in the shop, and I was like, wow, this is kind of all the best bits. But yeah, for me, I was like, yeah, this is a really the best version of a precision bass because it's 50s style, so 50 specs. You get that massive big maple neck that you have to take off the body to adjust the truss rod. I love that. Already had to do that, you know, when it turned up. So that was fine. Love that. I've got one of the Mexican 50s ones from like 2012 when they came out, and I'm fine doing that on that. So sorted out the neck, brass nut. Seymour Duncan quarter pounder precision bass pickup in there, which is the same pickup I have in my 50s P bass anyway. And yes, black single ply, black guard, basically the bass version of the David Gilmour, essentially.
Although I think this bass must have come first?
I don't know. Actually, similar no,
they're
time.
Saying the
similar
finish time. Is based on, it's back to the classic wall period of the 70s, late 70s, early 80s. I don't know. I don't know the history on it. I've seen a review here from 2018, but I'm sure they came out before 2018.
They definitely came out before 2018. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But either way, it sounds fantastic. It's great. And it's got me in a good position because I'm now like, oh, well, I have my 50s one, which sounds very much like this. And I have this one that just looks amazing and is very cool and lovely. So, well, I've got these two bases. That's your main base and your backup base. So I'm going to sell everything else. All the other bases are going. I'm keeping the Fidelity, one jazz bass. I have six jazz basses and these two P basses. Everything else is going.
I couldn't even, you know, if we were doing a quiz of Joe's gear, I couldn't name you the six jazz basses that you have. But I have put it into to Reverb, and there's a really cool classic series 50s P bass in black for £600. What's the difference between those ones and the
gold anodized guard on that one? I think
that's a aftermarket guard. That's not standard.
The gold anodized guard is what they came with.
Oh, was it? I noticed there's some screws missing for some reason.
Oh, right. I think that one actually belongs to Johnny Dibble, who's a friend of mine, a bass YouTuber.
Oh, well, that would make sense considering it's being sold by a guy named Johnny at Johnny's Gear Emporium.
Right, yes. That does make
so
sense.
So I'd imagine that's him.
Well, that's exactly what I got, Matt. That bass is the other one that I got,
yours was refinished in Nitro, right?
That's right. So I bought it in Fiesta Red. Came Fiesta Red with gold anodized plate, bought in 2012. Really didn't like it was just a bad Fiesta Red. So lovingly bought for me by my girlfriend before I worked at GAC, back when I lived in Chichester, which, dear listener, is this awful little town.
Not that bad.
I went to university there, so I've, you know, only bad things to say about it. When you stay in a place for that amount of time that's that small, you learn to hate it. But
yeah,
anyway, so my girlfriend bought it at GAC from Krista Franks, you know, and before any of us knew each other, and took it all the way back on the train, walked all the way back to our flat, all the way with this case banging into the back of her head because the bass is so big and she's about 5 foot tall, you know, so it's lovingly purchased for me. But yeah, I never got on with the colour. I tried all these.
You basically opened the case and went, what is this? That's what you've just described, Joe. Your amazing partner buying you this bass, carrying it all the way home, and you're basically going, I'm too busy to really care about this bass. Thanks.
Exactly. But yes, I had it refinished in a Nitro two-tone Sunburst by Graham Wheeler, and it was amazingly, gorgeously done. And I had him put Seymour Duncan quarter pounders in there at that time as well. And that bass has had several different plates throughout its time. The quarter pounders came out and some lollers went in for a short period. Then the quarter pounders went back in. I've put ashtray covers on it. I've changed bridges a few times. I've gone back to the original bridge now. The only thing that's changed now is it's got a single ply black plate and the Nitro finish. Oh, and I wire-walled the back of the neck to make it satin as well, because it's a gloss neck, which now I love, but you know, back when I was in playing this thing in a disco band, I needed speed.
Forgot that.
Yeah,
forgot you did that. Exactly. Don't think I ever saw that band live, but
no, there you go.
It was before we were proper friends.
Exactly.
But talking just quickly there, Joe, very finished. I should just give a shout out to and because you also mentioned the brand there about your other basses, but Fidelity, did we talk about the fact that they also do refinish as a service? I don't know if they want to shout this out in case everyone suddenly goes, can you refinish my guitar? But friend of mine, friend of yours, Mr. Vince, he is having his Jazzmaster refinished. And they offer electric guitar or bass body in a Nitro finish 295, including VAT. That includes primer, color, and a clear top coat.
Very reasonable.
You can also have the neck redone for $150. You can also have a set neck guitar, acoustic guitar, and an acoustic neck all redone. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. I've got so many great colors that I would love a guitar to be in. But I, to be honest, I don't feel like I've got a guitar that I would strip and refinish And then, yeah, and pay to be refinished. So what I need to do is buy a cheap guitar and then spend more money on than I probably spend on the guitar getting Matt to refinish it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, obviously, from the quality of the Fidelity guitars, just how amazing his nitro finishes are. Mm. Actually, Matt, it is funny you mentioned that, that Matt does have a bass of mine that he is refinishing for me at the moment. I don't
know.
There
you go.
It's I bought a Japanese 62 P bass, well, a 62 reissue P basses, but it had already been refinished badly in like a sonic blue and then relicked appallingly. Like, it looked like the guy had taken his keys to it, you know, and sort of, it was just so bad. But with the finish was awful. I think he'd done it himself. So it was sort of a, it almost looked brush strokey, the finish. It was very bad.
I think it's not an easy skill. No. It's not an easy skill at all.
No.
Although saying that, I do have a relict. My Baja is relics, which I bought off a customer when I used to work in GAC, and the relic job is incredible.
Really?
Yeah.
It's all about the lacquer checking for me with a relic job. I don't need it to be too much, too overt, too over the top. I just need that quality lacquer checking.
Yeah. No, this, because it's, I don't think the Bajas weren't nitro, but right, it definitely has relicked really well, like chips and dings and stuff.
Lovely.
Like that. But what finish are you having it done in?
Olympic white. I've gone for Olympic white. Because I've got this gorgeous, like, old Fender P-Bass scratch plate that's parchment, but lovelily aged.
Right.
And I just think that on, I'm going heavy relic, so a heavy relict Olympic white P-Bass, 62 P-Bass with that. It's got a gorgeous, thick rosewood board.
Right.
Like, gloss neck. I think it's going to look great when I get it back. It'll be a lovely, it's the opposite. It's the opposite of the Roger Waters, which is of course black guard, maple neck. So
how many basses in total do you now own, Joe?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I forgot about that one until we mentioned it.
Until the debt collector start knocking on your door being like, you've got to pay me for this thing I've just refinished. Yeah. You've sort of forgotten how many.
I don't know. I couldn't isolate bases. I don't know. There's five on that rack in there, four on that rack there, one, two, seven on the rack outside the door. There's four at Tim's in the Polymath lockup, and there's a few dotted around my friend's studios, but I'm not sure. I'm getting rid of them all. Everything's going. Everything must go. I'm keeping two P basses, one jazz bass, and the Fidelity. I've got to pick what guitars I'm picking, what I'm keeping. I think it's going to be the Juno, the Grez, obviously. And then I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what else. I feel like I need to buy either a Telecaster or a Strat.
All this talk
of Strats recently has made me very straight, but I don't think I'd ever play a Strat live, and I think I would play a Tele live.
Have they started work on our custom Grez, the neck pickup baritone?
That's
what I want.
I forgot about that as well. Barry said he would start around June, July, didn't he? I need to give him a shout, find out how he's getting along.
I'm like, yeah, come on. Where's that? Joe's selling everything, so I'll have it. Thanks. Yeah, it's. Do you know what I've been meaning to do? Actually, talking of just selling stuff before we move on, I don't know about you, Joe, but since I got into collecting, I wouldn't say collecting records. I just like buying records as a. Right. That's how I like to consume my music, I guess.
Yeah.
I have registered and logged every record I've bought on Discogs.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And you can do the same on Reverb, and I've been meaning to do that with everything. I think when I move, I'm going to do that with everything I've got, because it also gives you a value on your gear, which is obviously very handy.
You could register your gear, as in not to sell. You could just register that you own certain things on Reverb.
You can. If you
that's
go
amazing.
To...
I did not know this.
If you go
did
to...
you know that, dear listener?
My collection... you can add all of your gear on there. And what's really interesting is you can, every time you buy something on Reverb, you can just click add to my collection. And it would just add your Strat Plus.
Because I bought that on Reverb.
So basically, you find an item that's similar to yours, and then you just go add to my collection. And then it gives you an estimate value of your collection in your local currency based on the lowest and highest price sold.
This is so exciting. I'm going to do this and then I'll know how much money I have potentially wrapped up. Oh, is that a good or a bad thing?
Well, I think it's, do you know what? I think it's a good thing because what's nice is it's already on there, ready to go. And if you decide you want to sell something, you basically just click sell. You put the listing on there and away you go.
Wow, that is a fun, fantastic feature.
So I need to do that at some point. So we will get there eventually.
Okay.
Hopefully.
So Matt, how is your sort of Strat Odyssey at the moment? You're an owner of three great strats at the moment. You've got your 80s Paisley Strat, you've got your what's his chops, Ed O'Brien, and you've got the Plus. You wrote down in our list of things that you're missing your gold sparkle. You starting to think about custom shop strats?
Do you know, I was just thinking about it. I guess it leads on from registering your gear on Reverb. And actually, at some point, I would love to just write down or remember everything I've ever owned. And I remember selling a bunch of stuff at one point. I think that's where I probably sold the Strat Plus originally, because I bought from a good friend and ex-customer when I was at GAC, a 1964 Master Design Greg Fessler Strat in gold sparkle.
Right.
And it was one of the first ones where they were starting to do specific guitars. I think it was, you know, trying lots of new things with the custom shop. And this Master Design, they did two. They did Master Design and Master Built. So you could buy the same guitar just built, Master Built by Greg Fessler, or you could do the design from Greg Fessler made in the, like, custom shop team factory. And this came with, like, a DVD and a book, and it was based off a guitar from a really rare book called The Galaxy of Strats.
Right.
And The Galaxy of Strats is considered the vintage Strat Bible, for which the custom shop took a lot of its early inspiration for vintage guitars and the relicking and stuff like that as well. So this was a relicked gold sparkle Strat, which I played for ages. I also put a set of David Gilmour pickups on there from a different company, not EMG. And I just remembered how good that guitar was because I saw a similar gold sparkle Strat for sale up on Reverb. And I just thought, man, I've owned some really good guitars. And why don't I still, you know, when you just sort of remember you've owned something and you're like, oh, I'll play that. And you're like, no, wait, I don't own that guitar. I just want all the Strats. I just want all the Strats. They come in all the best colours, all the best solid colours. I need a Rosewood Strat. I need all sorts of Strats. And it just made me think about that. And I was like, I really, really miss that guitar. I think it was on Reverb. I think it's Coda. Now, Coda always have great guitars. They've got a gold sparkle matching headstock 61 Jazzmaster heavy relic. They've also got, which was similar to what I had, which is a custom shop 65.
Right.
Gold sparkle. Yeah, so they've got a custom shop 65 Journeyman relic in gold sparkle. So mine was probably what they would consider like a light relic, which had a rosewood board on it. And it's like a thick flake gold sparkle. It's not like a gold color. It's like proper, you know, there's some big old flakes of sparkle in there.
Yeah.
And I just go, I'm never, you know, secondhand, this 65 Journeyman relic is 3,299. I mean, I think I paid for mine secondhand at the time. I mean, it was from a mate, but still, obviously, he didn't want to, like, give it away. I think I paid £1,800. And I think the guitar new at the time was, like, 2,899. You know, it's just I know things are more expensive. We can't go, things are too. Yeah, yeah. I get it. I absolutely get it. But I'm just like, it's one of those things where you go, yeah, never going to be able to afford that, am I? I pay more for a secondhand one than I paid for a secondhand one, many, many moons ago.
Yeah.
But I've just been looking at Strats a lot recently. And I'm just like, yeah, they're excellent.
Yeah.
And I just want more Strats. I think it's probably because I've got a guitar rack behind me, which is all pink guitars. And then the last three are three Strats. And I'm like, you know what looks better than one type of the same guitar? It's like two of the same guitar.
It's lots of them, yeah.
And you know what looks better than two? It's like three. So I can imagine if you've got like five or six jazz basses, all of them lined up, it's going to look pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what got me into this mess. I mean, I did that thing where I bought loads of Strats last year. I had a couple of years ago now. I think I had three or four at one point, just because I wanted a 60s one. Then you want something that's 50s spec, and then I got a couple of 50s spec. They're all very good. I got a Rode worn one, which was lovely. Anyway, I sold them all. What's missing from your Strat collection then? Because I guess, are all your Strats maple necked?
They are. So right. I'm missing a rosewood board Strat. And I don't know if I necessarily want to go vintage, as it were.
Really?
But I just want a cool colour.
Right.
Rosewood neck Strat, I think, is what I really want.
You want another modern Strat, basically. Would it have to be Fender?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously,
it would have to actually be a Strat by someone else. It couldn't be like a close approximation.
Be a Strat by someone else. I'd want it to look like a Strat because then it doesn't look like the other ones, which is purely aesthetic.
You could get like a Sir or something like that. For example.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, going back to the Mexican ones we talked about, the Tom DeLonge and others, there's some cool Japanese Fenders out there. We talked about them a lot, I think, last week or the week before with the Strat Plus. And I just think, that's what I'm kind of saving for / hoping for in the future is something like that. Maybe getting back out to Japan at some point, seeing what's limited and unique. I know, for example, like Anderson's have the limited edition made in Japan hybrid Strats. They did like an HSS with the roasted neck.
Yeah, they look fantastic.
You can get some sort of like not crazy money ones on Reverb. For example, there's a 40th anniversary Strat from the Fujigen factory in like 94 in like an Olympic white, which looks very cool with a rosewood neck. So I don't know. Yeah, I kind of feel I'm not that fussed if it's American, Mexican, or even some of the. I've been looking at like a bunch of the old Squires, even recent ones, but some of the more sort of like more vintage Squires and some of the earlier MIJ ones. And I was just like, yeah, something like that, something cool with a bit of history. But I definitely think that Fender Japan are making some seriously cool stuff that we don't get to see.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
But which I guess, Joe, kind of neatly goes into another topic that I wanted to bring up that we wanted to talk about, which was kind of a news story. It's not super new by any means, but it is definitely something's very cool. And I don't think I've seen that many people talk about it. Bear in mind, I'm not on social, so maybe some people in the group were already talking about it. But Fender have opened, it's now open, their first ever flagship store. So a dedicated Fender store in Tokyo's Harajuku area. So for people who don't know, Harajuku is like the cool area for, it's not really hipster. I guess Harajuku is like a lot of people our age, Joe, would probably know Harajuku is like the street where you got like all the anime girls and people in dress up and all of that, which was iconic image of Japan in the early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess it's kind of like that now, but that's like, it's like the ultimate street for fashion and all that sort of stuff. Mm. And Fender have taken over a four floored ex H&M building all glass fronted, which is now Fender's dedicated, first ever dedicated retail store. And it's amazing. It's just like this huge, incredible store. But they were talking about, I think there was an interview with Andy Mooney, and he was saying that part of it is to cater for guitar tourism. So effectively, us going over there going, we want to buy some stuff that you can't buy elsewhere.
Yeah.
And then getting it from there and taking it back. Because the great thing is, and I've never done this, and again, hoping that I'd be back in Japan at some point in the near future, you can buy in Japan tax-free. So you can buy, for listeners, basically, when we worked in GAC, me and Joe worked in GAC, you used to get a lot of people from outside of the European Union being like, oh, can I get tax rebate? So effectively, if you aren't under the EU tax, like general tax, you could basically, if you lived in America, you could buy something in England. When you got back to America, you got this thing stamped and you could reclaim all the tax back, right. 20% tax back. And effectively, you can do the same in Japan. So you can effectively go out there and then you can claim all the tax back when you get back, which is very cool. So yeah. I think they're banking on a lot of people looking at Fender Japan guitars that are exclusive and buying them over there. But as I said, when I was over there, it is amazing how much stuff you see that you just don't see anywhere else.
Yeah.
So I think that's the kind of thing for me. I'm sort of holding out that I will head to Japan at some point and maybe find something unique out there at some point. Yeah. That's what I'm missing. Not missing a Made in Japan Strat. I just want more unique stuff just because I like it.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. They obviously just have such a massive, substantial range of completely unique and interesting stuff. I had no idea it could be tax free. That is very exciting. That was if there was any way I could go over there and actually eat anything, then I'd probably go over there.
Yeah, they are getting better for vegans over there and catering for vegan food. It's not as easy, but it is definitely possible. And having taken a vegan over there, they can cater for that. One day, Joe. We'll wait for Guitar Summit and let's see what's at Guitar Summit, because they do have the kind of they have a lot of builders over there you don't normally see. So that's definitely going to be a good thing.
So many good builders in Germany and just I guess lots of European builders flock to Guitar Summit as well. So there's always such interesting, excellent stuff there. Mm. Matt, before we wrap up this week's episode, Johnny Marr's just put out a book.
He has. Now, I think I first heard about this in the Noel Gallagher pedal show episode.
Right.
I think I heard someone else mention it before. But yeah, basically, Johnny Marr, who he's an iconic guitar player the world over. We've raved about his custom shop or his Jaguar. I've met him a couple of times and spoke to him. He's a really lovely fella. And he obviously is a bigger guitar collector than I realized, or maybe some of us realized, and has put out a book called Marr's Guitars. And it's basically a photographic presentation of all of the guitars he's kind of ever owned.
Absolutely incredible. I'm absolutely buying this. I'm a sucker for a hardback book.
I am, especially guitar ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Renowned photographer Pat Graham presents each instrument as a full body portrait supported by micro shots, highlighting the specific details that make each one unique. Well, Johnny Marr himself reveals his accompanying commentary on what tracks and at what gig each guitar was played.
Wow. You can pre-order it now. There's a purchase limit of 3 per person. I don't know why they have that, but fine, whatever. It's on Rough Trade. I'm looking at the link on £43.99. I'm sure it's similar in dollars. Dear listener, this is definitely something you should be considering if you're a fan of guitar literature.
I think that'd be a slightly more, I guess, to finish. There was one book, and I'll try and remember it for the Patreon. But there was one book we got offered once at GAC, and it was at for sale round the corner, where it was basically, the book was the size of a normal guitar, and every picture was a full life-size picture, and it was all these iconic guitars, and it came in its own mini flight case.
No, that's... How do you even read that? How do you...
It was... No, and I think at the time, it was... They were asking for... £800, I think, for this book.
What?
Yeah. I'll have to try and find it between now and perhaps the Patreon. But yeah, it was ridiculous. And then obviously no one bought them at that price. And this bookshop had loads, and I think they were going for like a couple of hundred quid. And I was very, very tempted at one point.
Well, yeah, that sounds almost as bad as when that guy made guitar wall hangers with lights behind them that cost more than the custom shop.
Well, I mean, I've certainly seen you can still buy hangers now that cost several hundred pounds.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, dear listener, that is about all the time that Matt and I have for this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us for any reason, you can at info@guitarnerds.net if you want to email us, or DM us on Instagram, message us in the Facebook group. That's always the best place to spark discussion. Matt and I are going to be heading over to Patreon, patreon.com/guitarnerds. Join us there. You visit that website. All the info is there to sign up and support our charming community. We're going to be talking a bit about, we've got some more news items we want to talk about, but also we're going to talk about the fantastic range of birth year guitars that you, dear listener, have all been sharing on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group. There have been so many fantastic contributions to that. It's made me really realize that owning a birth year guitar is actually an important thing to do, and something as guitar fanatics we should all do. But we're going to be talking through some of our listeners' best bits of birth year guitars. It would be very exciting.
Sounds great.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Very much, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. Thank you to our top tier Patreon backers for your constant support and making it possible for us to continue doing this podcast. Thank you to Rocket Rob Patterson, Marcus Deluxe, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Russ Meehan, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, Jorin Brown, John Conaway, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Brian Einzler, Mark Izal Kadawaki, Stuart Robson, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losif, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and of course, the wonderful Moog Gravett.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.